Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. As shared before, it's the gospel that serves as the basis for the meditation, but we'll also be referring to Paul's epistle to the Thessalonians as well. We're not going to reread them at this point. I invite you to keep your bulletin open there so that you can reference it as we go along. Please join your heart and head with me in a word of prayer. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In that Redeemer, Jesus Christ, dear fellow saints of the Most High God, as I look around the congregation, I think most of you will recognize and get an image in your mind of the figure I'm talking about. If you're younger and you don't know, talk to grandma or grandpa, or Google it, but Google it with your parents, because this fella, Karnak, the Magnificent, can be a little bit off color at times. He's a Johnny Carson character. He was part of the Tonight Show way back when, and what he did after he dressed up in a cape and a real fancy hat was that he held some hermetically sealed envelopes to his forehead, and those envelopes were held all day in a mayonnaise jar on the front porch of Funk and Wagnalls establishment until they were used, supposedly, on Johnny's show. And what he did when he held the envelope to his head was ascertain the answers and say them out loud before he would open the envelope to read the questions that the answer went to. Well, I have here in my hand the last envelope. Early service thought I had the last envelope, but I have another envelope. And the answer is, yes, he will. And the question, is, according to today's gospel reading, will Jesus really come again? Yes, he will. It's a question that's been on the minds of Christians almost from the beginning. Might have been the next day after his ascension. Certainly in the first letter to the Thessalonians, from which today's epistle reading comes, many scholars believe that it probably was the first book written in the New Testament codice, somewhere around 50 or 60 AD, which would be 20 to 30 years after the Lord ascended. It was already there. Will the Lord come again? Specifically, when he comes, the question in Thessalonica was, will he be able to do something about our loved ones who have died, who won't be here with us when he comes? And the answer is yes, he will. St. Paul answers in words intended to offer, as he says, comfort and encouragement. Jesus will raise the dead, even as he himself was raised from the dead. Yes, he will find a way to have our departed loved ones join the eternal banquet that he's prepared, because they're his loved ones too. The question, after all, is really, will the bridegroom show up for the wedding? Yes, he will, because quite frankly, he's in love. The Bible says that Christ loved the church, loved us so much that he gave his very life for us so that we might be his and be with him forever. Those of you who have ever been in love, or probably maybe still are, know what that means. Will the bridegroom come to be forever with his beloved? Yes, he will. It's interesting if you trace the history of this, that a few decades later, by the time that Peter gets around to writing his epistles, the same question was being asked, but with a different slant or twist and tone. The question became, well, if Jesus is going to come, where is he? What's taking him so long? Why is he delaying? Will he really come? And the answer is still yes, he will. That's what Peter answered, and then he went on to say that maybe the Lord is delaying, very much in terms of today's parable, when Jesus says the reason he's taking so long is that he's giving his beloved time to be prepared so that they're ready for his return. That's today's second question, isn't it? Will he expect us to be prepared when he comes again? Yes, he will. Jesus ends his parable with, "Watch, therefore." The preparation involves having oil in our lamps in order to greet him when he comes. That's another way of saying, let your light shine. It kind of reminds you of that gospel, huh? This little gospel light of mine, that song that we sing as kids. You know? And that may sound like a difficult requirement, but lest we forget, Jesus himself is the one who has provided it for us. He lived and died and rose again in order to provide us with the oil that we need, all that we need to be prepared. We have that beautiful gospel and the scriptures in which it rests. We have the Holy Spirit who uses those scriptures to bring that good news of Jesus's forgiveness, life, and salvation to us, to make us and keep us God's eternal children. God's saving word has been proclaimed to us so that we might share in his love feast, if you will. There was another parable that Jesus told concerning a man who was in hell who wanted Abraham to send someone to warn his brothers lest they share his fate as well. And God said to that man, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them, or let him or them hear them. By the grace of God, you and I have heard the good news of Jesus Christ. The oil we need is readily available to us and really to all. It flows freely from the blood of Christ, which cleanses us from all of our sins. Another question might be, when he comes, will he invite those whose lamps are burning to share in the wedding feast? And the answer is yes, he will. It's fascinating that that's the picture the Bible uses so frequently, because in that culture, as in ours, a wedding, and by the way, back then they lasted a longer. The celebration went on for days, if not a whole week. A wedding, then and now, is still one of the happiest events that one can think of. And I speak from experience. I've been privileged to be part of a lot of weddings as a pastor, but probably the most joyous weddings were the ones of our own children. As Ruth and I were able to participate in all the preparations, which brought back memories of me and my bride as we danced the night away in each other's arms. And through the years, as I've been involved in ministry retreats and other meetings, one of the icebreaker questions has often been, what was the happiest day of your life? And even when Ruth wasn't there, I said, my wedding day. Because after what seemed to me to be a long, long time, a lot of years of dating different people and enduring dead-end relationships, difficult relationships, and other delays, kind of sounds like the parable of Jesus told, doesn't it? When Ruth finally came along, I was prepared to rejoice in my wedding day and for the rest of my life with and over her. To me, it seemed like an awful long time that I had been waiting for her and her love, but everything else over the last 46 plus years has kind of flowed from there. But back to our bridegroom, Jesus. What if we happen to fall asleep while we're waiting? Will we still be invited in? Will that keep us from the party? That's the question of today's second lesson, isn't it? Where St. Paul uses precisely those words to describe the dead in Christ, those who fall asleep. Interesting that in light of his death on Calvary's cross, our death is softened immediately into something like sleep. The implication, of course, being what? We will wake. Resurrection is around the corner. Notice that in the parable, all 10 bridesmaids had fallen asleep before the bridegroom arrived. The 5 who had oil in their lamps, as well as those who didn't, that wasn't the problem. It happens. But it didn't prevent the 5 wise virgins who were prepared from joining the party. The 5 who had oil in their lamps, which had been provided for them beforehand, the oil of faith and forgiveness, if you will, given us by the Holy Spirit in our baptism, reassured in our frequent hearing of God's word, refreshed as we come to the Holy Supper of God's Son. Even if they have fallen asleep, will the Lord welcome unto the banquet those who have oil? And the triumphant, comforting answer is, yes, he will. Well, what about those who don't? Those who refuse to let their light shine with the oil that's been offered them. Will he really lock them out of the eternal wedding feast forever? Yes, he will, unfortunately. So it's time for those who have oil to fuel up, to let our lights so shine, if you will, as brightly as possible, so that others too might be drawn into the brightness of his shining and receive the oil of gladness and the joy of their salvation too, that they might yet respond to the invitation to come unto the Savior and unto the wedding feast with him that lasts forever. May God grant that to us in Jesus' name. Amen.